He is risen. Three small words that brought the collective pace of humanity to an absolute standstill. He is risen. Three words that shattered prisons. Words that shook the earth's foundations. Words that transformed a sense of utter despair into cries of pure joy and ecstasy. Echoes of history's greatest triumph that still shape our reality. Even today, we're assaulted by constant distraction, countless sources waging war for our attention, yet three words pierce the noise. In our hunger for validation, our desperate pleas for love and attention, three words calm our anxiety. In a universe spinning at breakneck speed, its inhabitants locked in an existential crisis, three words proclaim the purpose of our existence. He is risen. Lay hold of this truth and embrace the peace within. Yesterday, fear reigned in our hearts. Yesterday, we sat in crippling darkness. Yesterday, we suffered abuse and all the accusations of a broken world. But today, our King, our healer, our defender is risen. And this reality doesn't merely accompany us on a meaningless journey. This changes everything. For you see, if he is risen, then all other pursuits become secondary. All of our failures become insignificant. All criticisms and condemnations become irrelevant. There is only his word, his mission, and his infinite, unconditional love for you. Because he is risen, we look to tomorrow. Tomorrow we will stop defining our worth through status and social media. Tomorrow we will together build an everlasting kingdom. Tomorrow and every day after, we will dance in the radiance of a redeeming Savior who crushed death and set us free. There is nothing that Jesus cannot overcome. We know this because he lives. We know this because he is risen.
He is risen. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning to worship and to honor you. Lord, what a glorious day today is. Lord, every day that you've given us is amazing, but today is especially glorious as we recall your death and resurrection for us, for your children, that we might be saved, born again, and set free from the sins of this world. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us and for the blessing that Resurrection Sunday is. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Today is, in fact, Resurrection Sunday. We have been talking for the last several weeks about miracles, about what we can learn from all the different miracles that are listed throughout Scripture. And today is no exception. Today we will read through the greatest miracle of all. And we're going to celebrate this weekend that is before us, this weekend that we've come to know as Easter weekend. We are going to celebrate today Jesus' death and resurrection. The death and resurrection he provided for you and I, for every single one of us that are here today. All we have to do is confess and believe in that, in what he has done for us. There is an abundance of evidence for us in Scripture. And throughout history, that tell us His story. That's what history is. History is His story. It's all about Christ. In fact, there is more and more evidence practically every single day, from new discoveries to archaeological digs to historical studies and more. There is constantly proof offered to us that Christ is who He said He was. And there's plenty of proof still today that He is the Messiah, that He does everything He said He would do throughout Scripture then and still today. He still heals. He still comforts. He still provides. We all know personal individuals who have seen Him at work in their own lives, and perhaps even in our own lives, we have experienced Him. We've seen people healed from cancer, the word that everybody is petrified of, and yet we've seen people delivered completely and set free from that dreaded disease. We've seen God meet financial needs beyond any understanding we could ever have, and in ways we never even imagined possible. We have to constantly praise God for what He's done for us and how He's done it, because we are physical people who love the tangible evidence. So praise God for all of that evidence that He gives us. Honestly, every single day, if we will stop and think about it, He shows Himself real to us. He does something in our lives that sets an example, proves a point, unveils just a miraculous event. Every single day He does stuff for us. And He did that when He walked this earth as well. You and I go on like everything is normal, like there's nothing to think about. We just go on our normal routine, our normal day. And to be honest with you, His disciples did the same thing. They walked next to the Messiah. They listened to Him day after day and His teachings. And yet they went about their normal routine without ever realizing what was about to happen. What was about to take place in the life of their Messiah? To them, it was a typical plain old Thursday. Just another trip to the garden, if you will. But Jesus knew that it was so much more.
Jesus prayed the night before He was tried. In the garden, oh, how He wept, sweating blood as He cried. I wonder how He felt, the choice He had to face. The night before Jesus died. Did the birds cry, did the flowers weep when the disciples fell asleep? Jesus was all alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did the trees bow down? Did the rocks cry out? Did the wind begin to sigh? The night before Jesus died. How did it feel to be abandoned and alone? Love betrayed with a kiss, it's cutting to the bone. I wonder how he felt, the choice that he made. The night before Jesus died. Did his father cry? Did the heavens weep? Did the angels rush to the feet? At a distance to watch him there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Evil laughed in his face, and darkness had its chance. The night before Jesus died. The night before Jesus died.
This would be the time for you to grab yourself a cracker and some juice as we begin to prepare this morning to take communion together. It is incredibly important that we take a moment to reflect on what communion is about before we participate together this morning. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of our Lord. A man ought to examine themselves before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." We're going to take a few moments this morning for some introspection. Turn your thoughts inward. Don't think about dinner later. Don't think about what's playing on TV today. Don't think about even how absolutely gorgeous it is outside at this moment. Right now, what we need to be focused on is our relationship with Christ, and are we in the right place? We need to remember what took place on that Friday so very long ago and ask the Lord if there's anything that would be hindering us from participating in communion this morning.
Power of the cross has a hold on me. It may sound old-fashioned in this modern day and age, but the love that found a way back then still finds a way today. I believe in the power of the cross. I believe in the power of the cross. Oh, precious one that was slain, you wash me clean, remove the stain. I will praise, revere your name. I am changed by the power of the cross. I am changed by the power of the cross. When I first saw the cross, I did not know I was lost. My eyes were blind,
and I could not see. Since then and now, your truth has come over me. I can see the power of the cross. I can see the power of the cross. Oh, precious one that was slain, you wash me clean, remove the stain. I will praise, reveal your name. I am changed by the power of the cross. I am changed by the power of the cross. All I had were filthy rags, but you took my offering. You did not ask for any more. It was all I could bring. But what I gave you transformed, and you made it something new. Now I can live by the power of the cross. I can live by the power of the cross. Oh, precious one that was slain, you washed me clean, remove the stain. I will praise, reveal your name, and I am changed by the power of the cross. I am changed by the power of the cross. Oh, precious one that was slain, you washed me clean, remove the stain. I will praise, reveal your name. By the power of the cross, I am changed by the power. I am changed by the power. I am changed by the power of the cross. Your blood shed on the tree, because of your love and mercy, because of your grace and sacrifice, because you paid the ultimate price to be reconciled with the Father, to span the gap of sin, you died for me. You crawled up that hill to lay down your life. You felt the nails and you felt the stripes. Defeated death in victory. You did it all for humanity. You crawled up that hill to lay down your life. You felt the nails and you felt the stripes. Defeated death in victory. You did it all for humanity. You did it just for me. For me.
For me.
You did it for me.
For me.
For me. For me.
For me.
For me.
For me.
For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, this morning we again stand here in just incredible awe at what you willingly chose to do for each and every one of us. You left your home. You came to this earth. You allowed yourself to be beaten and whipped, all so that our sins might be forgiven. Lord, what an incredible gift you have given us. Let us partake together of the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, exactly what we're doing today, we're rejoicing in your death and resurrection. We're celebrating, Lord, what it is you have done for us. Lord, it's not often we think of the shedding of blood as a good thing. Lord, but this morning, we think of the blood that ran down your brow. We think of the blood that dripped from your hands and your feet and the blood and water that ran from your side. God, all of that, so that we might be covered and cleansed and made whole. God, thank you for the sacrifice you made for us. Let's partake together this morning. Just like that Saturday after Jesus' crucifixion, sometimes in our world, at least sometimes to us as individuals, God seems silent. Yet if we look in the midst of worldwide tragedy, like we've experienced this last year, this COVID-19 pandemic, in all of this, God shows His mighty hand. And then if we boil it down and look at the most intimate, most personal, most private issue that each and every one of us has in our individual lives, God is holding us in His comforting arms. So no matter what the scale of things is, we can see God working and we can experience His presence in our world today. Perhaps some of these things occur to help us to understand that absolutely nothing is a surprise to Him. He knows it before it's going to take place. Or maybe it's a reminder that even in what seems to be the absolute darkest hour, He is there for us. He is there to help us and to encourage us. Or yet it may be, just maybe, it even reminds the world of His sovereign control. Jesus walked this very earth, this same place that you and I dwell today. He came to show us right from wrong. He came to change our calloused hearts. He came to live as an example of the love that we are supposed to show to others. Today we want to be a reflection of His love. We want to be a reflection of His story. We don't just want to talk about His birth today or all the miraculous signs that He has given us, not even just the promises He has fulfilled, but rather we want to look at the one account that has changed people's lives for thousands of years. It's the story that Jesus Himself said would take place. Even though no one understood that, even though no one believed Him at that time. And crazy enough, here we are, 2,000 years later, with all the evidence that we have, still struggling to accept that truth, still struggling to believe what He told us was going to happen. We still want to debate it today. In fact, people still today like to twist and distort the truth in order to defend their own personal way of life, to defend their own personal choices. But the bottom line is nobody can argue with the facts. Everything that was recorded years and years and years before it ever occurred has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, in one person. To me, there's no better instruction than the words that we have been given. To me, there is no better or greater truth than the truth we are going to read shortly. To me, there's no better teacher than the one we are privileged to call our Savior.
Anointing, hallelujah.
Gentlemen, would you come up and join me, please? Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"Yes, it is as you say,"
Jesus replied. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed.
"What shall I do then with this Jesus who is called the Christ?"
Pilate asked. They all answered,
Crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed?"
asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, Crucify him! They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed a sign, a written charge against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who were going to destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God."
In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him.
"He saved others,"
they said,
"but he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'"
When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had been dead were raised to life. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed,
"Surely he was the Son of God."
How terrible it must have been to have been so close to him when they drove the nails into his hands and his feet. The strikes were thrown as the prophets foretold. His flesh was torn and his blood freely flowed. Wasn't it enough to hang upon the cross? Bitter water to drink, naked in humility. And after he cried those three words, he died. Then he took a spear deep in his side. The blood and water flowed. The ground shook and the sky turned black. The veil in the temple was torn in two. Evil trembled by this act of sacrifice. Love's pure holiness, it pierced the night, and he cried, "It is finished. The deed is done. Oh, he's conquered hell. He's conquered death. There's a victory. He has won. It is finished. Life has just begun. No longer death rules the earth. He has come. He has won. Oh, he has won. It is finished. The deed is done. He's conquered hell. He's conquered death. There's victory. He has won. It is finished. Life has just begun. No longer death rules the earth. He has come. He has won. It is finished.
As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate.
"Sir,"
they asked,
"we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be far worse than the first." "Take a guard,"
Pilate answered.
"Go make the tomb as secure as you know how."
So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were afraid of him, and they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman,
"Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'"
So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them.
"Greetings,"
he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them,
"Do not be afraid. Go, tell my brothers, go to Galilee. There they will see me."
When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it.
The gates and doors were barred, and the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, and rose with every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, and half in fear the day. Find the soldiers breaking through, to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. And I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. As she said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. Both ran towards the garden, and then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the ivy sheath they wrapped him in was just an empty shade. How and where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange has happened there, but what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstances, speculation couldn't lift me very high. I'd seen them crucify him. Oh, and then I watched him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Oh, and even if he was alive, oh, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly, the air was filled with the strangest sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide.
And I fell down on my knees, oh, and I clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet as I looked into his eyes. Love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared. Sweet release. Every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive. He's alive. And I've forgiven heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And I've forgiven heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And I've forgiven heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive.
Amen. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in different forms to two of them while they were walking in the country. They returned and reported to the rest, but they did not believe them either. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them,
"Peace be with you."
They were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. He said to them,
"Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands, look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have."
When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them,
"Do you have anything to eat?"
They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate in their presence. Then he said to them,
"This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms."
Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, and he told them,
"This is what is written. The Christ shall suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
When I was too weak to stand, he took me by the hand. Mercy has changed me, And when fear controlled my days, I grew strong in His embrace. Mercy has changed me, changed me, changed me. Mercy has changed me in ways I never dreamed. I'd all but given up, but mercy taught me to believe, and now I'm living, finally living, and with grateful eyes I see. Mercy has changed me. Mercy has changed me. On my own I lost my way. Then I heard Him call my name. Mercy has changed me, changed me, changed me. I was desperate and alone, but now He's carrying me home. Mercy has changed me, changed me, changed me. Mercy has changed me in ways I never dreamed.
While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were sleeping. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And that story has been widely circulated amongst the Jews to this very day. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is his story. People can debate all day long about the validity of the word that we just read. In fact, many do debate about the truth of that word. They try desperately to prove it wrong, and all they do is prove it right. So I would challenge any one of you today, on this Resurrection Sunday, if you are here this morning, or if you are listening from home, either way, and you don't believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus, or if you just struggle with some part of understanding it all, I encourage you this morning to try to disprove it, because you won't be able to. What you will do is find yourself proving it over and over again. Once you come to that realization, ask Him to reveal to your heart and mind the truth of His Word. Ask Him to show you just how real He is. Ask Him to make His Word come alive in your heart and mind. And I guarantee you, He will. See, God longs for every one of us to be saved. And He will not turn away anyone who seeks Him.
Finished, He said. We had watched as His life ebbed away.
So we all stood around till the guards took Him down. Joseph begged for His body that day.
It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped His body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen, and hear what I say.
I've just seen Jesus. I tell you, he's alive. I've just seen Jesus, our precious Lord alive.
His voice, she first heard those kind and gentle words, asking what was her reason for tears.
And I sobbed in despair, my Lord is not there.
He said, child, it is I am here.
First Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That man is Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. His death, his resurrection, was not for a generation past, nor for a generation yet to come. It wasn't for him or her or them. Jesus died and rose for us today. Every one of us. Every one of us listening to this word, he has done what he has done for us. You and me. No one can make God more real to you than God himself. I encourage you to ask God to bring that truth of his word, the truth of Jesus' death and resurrection, alive in your heart and mind. Let him make his story come alive in you. I assure you, it will be the greatest request you could ever make.
We want you to join in on the second time round, okay?
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that we can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said, he is risen just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Would you please stand and sing with us?
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that we can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing Christ is risen from the dead. The angel up on the tombstone said, he is risen just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Be blessed and go in peace today, always remembering the greatest weekend that ever existed in all of history. The weekend when Christ died and rose for you and I, so that all may be saved. Lord, again, we thank you for the incredible gift that you have given us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we are freed from our sins. Thank you that a path, a way has been made for us to you. Lord, help us always to remember the incredible weekend you gave every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.